Oh, it worked right off the bat.
It took Craig 29 minutes less to show up today than he did on Father's Day.
Hell yeah.
Absent father.
Episode 37, TH Fantasy. We have a repeat guest. Shane's back. Hey, Shane.
What's going on, guys? I'm on site today in Chicago, so very, very happy to be here twice.
Damn, out in Chicago.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, like, we didn't even get shot at him. It's like, man, the Chicago... I was really gone soft, man.
I felt I was lied to. I was promised I was going to be massacred, and here I am standing recording this podcast with you guys.
It's true.
We can still take you down below, like, 134th Street if you want, but...
Well, we're going,
still the episodes
we're going, go. We're going to the UC tonight, so the medical district's not the best neighborhood, but, wow. Like, honestly, let's be real, like, people that are afraid of Chicago are people that watch... Fox News. And
you guys should park. You guys should park down by the Billy Goat and go to the Billy Goat before the WrestleMania.
That sounds awful.
Wait, you can get cheeseburger.
I'm gonna be sitting in the United Center with, like, you know, eight kinds of cheese sitting in my stomach, like acting like I'm not gonna have to shit for
them. And you get $12 nachos, and then you add one more layer.
Oh God. I feel like the jalapenos kind of, like, they cut through the cheese, so it buys you a little bit of time, but that would be a fucking fart-filled ride home, man.
Dude, I get scared when a green vegetable is served brown to me. I'm like, I don't think this is how this should be.
So, speaking of green vegetables served brown, we have some really bad football to talk about today. Like, really bad football for episode 47. Yeah.
Especially Carolina, but I mean, Tampa's not bad. We got some good stuff to talk about Tampa.
Tampa's the only team of the four we're talking about today that, like, anyone should be legitimately excited about. So, this is episode 37. Do you want to do our 37s to start, or do you want to end with them?
No, I think I like starting with them.
Kutsoff's
a good thing.
How many you got today, Ryan?
I just did like two, and then I grabbed a couple like names I just wanted to throw out there, but I got some stats on like two. I don't know. The first one I got is Sean Alexander. Everyone knows Sean Alexander, 2000 Seahawks player, running back. Was drafted in the year 2000. 2,187 rushing attempts for 9,453 yards. Fun fact, he was the first ever player on the Madden series of games.
2007. I remember that game a lot.
He was the first ever? Because they had guys on there before. They had Culpepper and Eddie George and, like...
Oh, I mean, I guess Wikipedia could be wrong, but it did say that. It did say that he was the first player on the Madden series of games.
If you got that,
you're a teacher, it's wrong.
If you got that on Wikipedia, it must be right. I have two nicknames for Sean Alexander that I found.
Okay.
Alexander the Great, which is kind of low effort, and Mr. Touchdown.
I think that's more low effort than Alexander the Great.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Geez, Ryan, did you see his 2005 season?
Yeah.
370 carries, 1880 in yards, and 27 touchdowns.
Oof.
Wow.
That's crazy.
He had, in 8 years, he had 2,100 carries. His body must be completely shot.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he's doing now. But
I do. I do. Sean Alexander and his family settled in the small suburban D.C. town of Great Falls, Virginia, and he and his wife homeschool their children.
Of course.
They're preppers.
Is it incredibly depressing that when someone's like, yeah, I homeschool my kids, I'm always like, oh, no.
Yeah, that never ends well, in my opinion.
Right. Sean Alexander. Okay, I got a football player for you.
Sure.
Former Chicago Bear, Tony Parrish. Strong safety.
Okay.
He was he was on those, like, that Bears team in 2001 that had a pretty serious run.
Yeah.
He was, listen to this, he was the second round pick for the Bears in 1998. He started week one against Jacksonville, which they lost. In his first game ever, he had 14 tackles and forced 3 fumbles.
Nice.
Pretty sick. Nothing too crazy about that. I mean, he was just a safety, went to San Francisco and played actually longer in San Francisco than he did in Chicago. And then he became a champion in 2009 with the Las Vegas Locomotives of the United Football League.
Damn.
I will say he was on the Chicago Meals on Wheels. Like he volunteered for them. He won the Brian awesome. Piccolo Man of the Year award. He gave a bunch of money to the Special Olympics, and he also was the spokesman and face of the Bear Down program, which was aimed at curbing underage liquor sales. So Tony Parrish, good dude, unless you're a teenager trying to get drunk.
Right. Excellent charity work.
Yeah, if you're trying to get drunk and Tony Parrish is like, we're going to intercept youth alcohol consumption, I'm going to be like, dude, fuck you, you're an asshole. So
I'm going to pick six your alcohol consumption.
Yeah, I'm going to pick your six pack out and you're gone. Right. No booze for you.
Another notable player that only wore the number for 1 year is Deion Sanders, 04 to 05.
That's right, in Baltimore, right?
Yep. That's another name I had written down. Yeah, 04 to 05, he wore that number. But the main guy I wanted to talk about is Mr. Doak Walker.
Doak Walker.
He played in the NFL for Detroit in 1950 to 1955. He is a Heisman Trophy winner. The award-winning season he won 1948 when he won the Heisman at the Southern Methodist College.
SMU.
He had 532 yards on the ground, but get this, he also threw 6 touchdowns. As a receiver, he caught 15 passes for 279 yards and 3 touchdowns. Also, get this, he was the kicker for the team as well. He punted for 425 yards on 421 yards. He returned punts and kickoffs, and he was the place kicker. Overall, he scored 88 points for the team that year through kicking and touchdowns. he helped the Lions win their second NFL championship in 1953. Guess how much his 1955 salary was as an NFL player?
$1,500.
I mean, that's pretty low, but it was $27,500.
That's crazy.
$27,500.
You know, like...
That's Shane like poverty. That's considered poverty now.
Right. Shane and I were talking about this, and you and I have talked about this at different times, that like... Football players, everyone's like, football players back then, they didn't need helmets and they didn't care about concussion. And it's like, yeah, because all of those dudes were like fat alcoholics that like played football on the weekends and then worked at like the mill Monday yeah. through Friday. Like they weren't athletes. They were just drunks that didn't have anything else to do on a Sunday.
Right. And it's surprising too, because as I made further reading about him, it actually said he left the NFL because he had like investment opportunities in Texas and he didn't want to play anymore or something. I'm like, it didn't make sense. Cause I looked, that's what made me look up his salary. Cause I was like, how much was this guy making? And it didn't make any sense to me how he had all these investment opportunities making $25,000 a year, but who knows?
You know, also the college football award for best running back is the Doak Walker award.
That's right. That's right.
Yep, and I'm looking this up as we're talking here. Doak Walker married two people with awesome names. His first wife's name was Norma Jane Peterson.
Huh.
Norma Jane, what a fucking name. in Texas, of course.
Right.
And then they divorced. So they had four kids. They were married from 1950 to 1965, had four kids, and then they got divorced in 1965. And then he married an Olympic skier in 1969. Her name was Skeeter Werner.
Nice. I'd vote for that skier. A skier named Skeeter.
A skier named Skeeter. That's, I think we just named the episode, A Skier Named Skeeter.
But yeah, that was my main guy I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, Doak Walker. Unfortunately, he died in a skiing accident. So,
how ironic, because he married a skier
named Skeeter.
Cher.
What's up?
I said, was he married to Cher?
Oh God, rest in peace. Yeah, I guess Doak Walker.
Cher married two people that died in tragic skiing accidents.
Doak Walker and Sonny Bono have something in common. That's all right. That's a little morbid.
Yeah.
Shane, you got a 37 for us?
Yeah, I do. So I'm going to go hometown with Derek Fisher. He played with six teams. He was on OKC as number 37, but he's better known as number two. Like we talked about in the last podcast, I wasn't really a sports guy, but being in Los Angeles or Southern California during the reign of Phil Jackson, Kobe Bryant, and Shaquille O'Neal, Derek Fisher was a staple that I remember watching a lot of games of. And then him hitting that clutch shot with like 0.4 seconds left to take them to the next stage of either the playoffs or the NBA Finals is always something that I will always recall in sports history.
That was against the Spurs, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't know. That was
where it was like a 0.2 like catch and turn like shot. He also, Derek Fisher, if you recall, had the weirdest jump shot where he was like, he almost was like holding it like a trophy and like like keeping it steady with his left and going underneath with the right, and it was like a launch. Man, Derek Fisher. Derek Fisher and Matt Barnes got into a huge thing about someone's ex-wife, I think. Remember, we're not a basketball podcast, but
no. He won five championships though, which seems like a significant amount to me.
He was on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, good for him.
What?
Here you go. In October 2015, Fisher was involved in a physical altercation with former teammate Matt Barnes at a party in the home of Barnes' ex-wife Gloria Govan. Fisher and Govan became engaged in April 2018, and they married in 2021.
Wow.
So, he stole Matt Barnes' ex-wife. And fought Matt Barnes.
Is it stealing if someone's been given up on? Like,
okay, so since he's a point guard, it's a steal. If he was a power forward, it wouldn't be. We'd classify it differently.
Okay,
it'd be a block shot.
All right. So let's move on. Let's talk a little shit about some bad football teams. I'm gonna take the plunge first today.
Okay. I'll do Carolina second.
Okay, so we're gonna start with Jacksonville, and let's start with Trevor Lawrence. So Jacksonville had the lowest points scored per game in football last year, and so everyone, like, I'm wondering how much of Lawrence last year was the coaching, and how much of it's the team, and how much of it is him. Lawrence struggled in every category: clean pockets, under pressure, third down, and if you watch the tape, he's clearly good at what he does, but he has to bail out his whole fucking team.
I remember there was that game he was scrambling every time. He scrambled for like two touchdowns, but his line was just so shitty.
Listen to this. The left tackle last year for Jacksonville allowed 37 pressures.
Jesus.
Was responsible for 37 pressures. But he was tied. You know who else allowed 37 pressures on Trevor Lawrence? Trevor Lawrence.
What?
Trevor Lawrence was listed as responsible for 37 pressures, so for holding the ball too long. So is that like because his receiver is blocked? Is it because he just can't read fast enough? Who knows?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I feel like Lawrence was given like a shitty, like those old disposable calculators you got in elementary school, and they were like, all right, bro, calculus, here you go. Like, it almost doesn't matter how good you are if you don't have the right tools, right? Like, that's something we say about Justin Fields. I say the same thing about Trevor Lawrence. I don't want Lawrence as my redraft quarterback in week one, but I think he's worth monitoring if he can fix anything. Jacksonville, I know we were talking about strength of schedule. Jacksonville has the fourth easiest schedule for quarterbacks next year. Right. But I think he's a stash. If you go into a redraft with Trevor Lawrence as your quarterback one, you live in Jacksonville.
Right. I'm optimistic this year about them, as we all know from the podcast previous, but because of those reasons, the tools that the people they added in the off season so far, and you can talk about those after this, but also their strength of schedule. And I think this is Lawrence's second year. I think he's going to get some shit together.
He's got to, you know? So second year guys, let's talk a little bit about Travis Etienne. Last year, you know, everyone's high on him right now, but remember last year he was considered a reach. Like, people were not in love with that move, that draft pick last year. He injured his Lisfranc in the preseason. Do you know that in Dynasty he's the running back 8?
That's crazy.
According to Keep Trade Cut, above Dalvin Cook and Austin Eckler.
Well, he's going to have a chance to show everyone what he's going to do, because James Robinson's not going to, I don't think he's going to be ready to start week one. So it's going to be Etienne's show.
Right. So he had amazing tape in college. And PFF, I looked up his rookie, like, before he was drafted to see what they were saying. He was compared to people like DeAndre Swift, DeMarco Murray, and Cam Akers.
Okay.
Etienne is ranked 17th in PPR going into next year by 4 for 4. Like, running backs are, yeah, running back 17. No, I'm sorry, 17th overall for wide receivers, running backs. Jacksonville's got a decent offensive line, but listen to this. In the 5 years that Doug Peterson coached the Eagles, the team averaged exactly 100 pass attempts to the running back position.
Wow.
So, James Robinson catches passes too, but I think that, you know, with his injury, which we'll talk about in a second, Etienne, man, can you imagine if Etienne's getting 6 targets a game? Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
All right. James Robinson is the pride of Rockford, Illinois. He tore his Achilles near the end of last year. They're optimistic that he'll be ready at the start of the season, but I don't know, man. Like, that's a long, like, that's a bad injury.
Right.
And on top of that, he was never a super fast dude, and this is going to make him even slower. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love James Robinson, and I think James Robinson's a good football player, but he's not going to be ready to start the season. He's not taking reps with the first team in a new offense. It's going to take him a while to get up to speed. It's Etienne. It's not Robinson. I don't want Robinson right now. The thing about James Robinson, too, right, exactly, is that the Jaguars drafted Snoop Connor, and that's another power one cut back. Snoop Connor was getting 5 yards a carry in college. So, like, he can do the Robinson thing while Etienne does the Etienne thing. I want Etienne as my running back 2 in redraft. If I have an IR spot, James Robinson could be pretty nice in there. And in Dynasty, Snoop Connor is a taxi squad guy. Who knows? You guys got favorites in the Jacksonville backfield? Is Etienne overpriced at running back 8 in Dynasty?
I would think so, because we really have no reason to believe that he's going to be great. I mean,
done in the NFL?
Yeah, right. We haven't seen him play.
What's Breece Hall at right now, Tony? Is he still 5?
Yeah, he's in the top 10 as well.
They love that youth.
Dynasty players are, you know, like music fans that had to know the band before they were big. You know what I mean?
Right.
So us.
Yeah, exactly. Travis Etienne was my running back 5. You had him at 12. Like, All right, so let's talk about guys that aren't going to be in the single digits in anyone's rankings. The Jacksonville wide receivers.
Christian Kirk is going to be wide receiver one this year. That's my hot take.
Oh, shit.
Christian Kirk, okay, so that's so funny because my first sentence says, Christian Kirk ruined football.
Or he gets the, like, you know, the big contract curse where he tears his Achilles in week two and is out the rest of the year.
That could happen. Listen, Christian Kirk, for all the money he's gotten, has never gotten more than 80 catches in a year, never had more than 1,000 yards. His career high in touchdowns is 6. So this contract is like, hey, dude, you're about to blow up. Otherwise, we're overpaying you.
Nope.
They're overpaying him. He ran 78% of his routes out of the slot last year, so I'm assuming that means Zay Jones and Marvin Jones, no relation, are the outside guys. Zay was one of the better deep threats in the second half of last year in Vegas, which you know, Ryan, because we hammered him a couple times in DFS.
Yeah.
From week 11 to 18, so like the latter half of the season, he had 54 targets, 38 catches, 369 yards, like decent numbers for a 7-game stretch. But I don't want him in redraft. He's a DFS guy at best. Marvin Jones, I think Marvin Jones is going to catch 70 passes this year. He's going to get 800 yards.
Yeah, he was pretty decent.
He had 9 touchdowns 2 years in a row, and then last year he had 4.
Yeah, but those 2 years were with Detroit, though.
Right. Right. Well, no. His first year in Jacksonville, he was good, too. He is the, if Brandon Cooks is Dr. Pepper, Marvin Jones is like Dr. Thunder. A little bit cheaper.
I actually like the generic Dr. Thunder. It's pretty good.
So you might want to be drafting Marvin Jones. You know what I mean? Like, if he's a bench player on my team, I'm happy. He had 73 catches last year on 120 targets.
Damn.
That's fucking hideous. So his efficiency goes up. He's a major steal. Laviska Shenault is underrated. That is my hot take. In 2 years and 2 less games, he has more catches and yards than Gabe Davis, but only has 5 career touchdowns.
If Waleed was here, he would say something really bad about Laviska Shenault.
I know. Because Laviska Shenault's not great, man. Like,
no.
And he's going to go back to a gadget player role if Christian Kirk is going to be in the slot. And what I think is going to happen is I think Laviska Shenault's going to get carries. I think he's going to get more handoffs. He had 11 carries last year, so who knows? He is incredibly inefficient. He ran a route on over 92% of Jacksonville's pass plays and was still wide receiver 56.
He was wide receiver 56?
Yeah, I know, right? That sounds better than what you thought.
Yeah, right.
So if I when I averaged out Doug Peterson's past offensive targets per position, that means there's about 320 targets to go around at wide receiver. Maybe 350, given how bad the tight end room is in Jacksonville. I think it's reasonable to expect Jones and Kirk to both go over 100 targets each. Zay Jones to probably get about between 50 and 75. So maybe there's still 50 or 60 targets for LaVisca. I don't know. I don't want Christian Kirk. I don't want any of those guys. They're bad. Dan Arnold is tight end that plays in Jacksonville. He was hurt last year, but he's going to be tight end 2. Evan Ingram was brought in, who had 70 catches, 750 yards, and 6 touchdowns in his rookie year and has done nothing since.
Well, I mean, he played for the Giants. I mean, the Daniel Jones last few years has been horrible.
I think there's a chance that Evan Ingram is okay this year, but he's going to be a tight end 16. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we can't expect all these new players to just emerge like Kirk and Ingram, and it'd be awesome if it happened, but
well, remember, Doug Peterson loved throwing the ball to Zach Ertz in Philly.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence loved throwing the ball to tight ends last year.
Yeah.
The question is, like, if they had spent so much money on wide receivers to only tight end Evan Ingram, it seems like a
waste. Yeah.
So
that's very on brand for Jacksonville, though, right?
Yeah, they got to pay up to get people to join because they fucking suck. What do you guys think? You guys got any Jaguars you like this year? You can just say no, it's fine.
I like Trevor Lawrence. I think this is going to be his second year, breakout year, where he's got some pieces to play with. And on paper, it looks good for him. So I'm really hoping that he has a good season. Dare I say 30 touchdown passes?
Hot take, revitalization.
I think it's reasonable.
He's got the guys to throw to now.
Yeah, he does.
Such a nuclear hotbed for me.
And you know they're always going to be playing from behind.
Sure. Say that one more time, Shane. I'm sorry.
I said I feel like it's a nuclear hot ground for me. Like, I don't really want to touch that offense. Like, I'm with Ryan, though. Like, I have my shares of T-Law just because I'm a believer. But yeah, I'm not inspired to spend any form of draft capital on that team in most formats.
I like, everyone has a price. And yeah. If you're telling me the last player on my dynasty bench is Laviska Shenault, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
If Snoop Connor is on my taxi squad, I'm into that. Like, am I paying running back 8 for Travis Etienne? No. No fucking way.
No.
Ryan has Travis Etienne sitting in his IR spot in Dynasty and could maybe try correct. To get a nice return on investment at some point.
That is correct. I drafted him last year.
I'm with you there, Ryan. I drafted him before he tore his lens frac, and he's been sitting on my IR as well, and I'm hoping for either a return or come back as RB2 like Tony was trying to get at.
I think it was horrible too, because I think that draft was like only a week or two before that happened, and I was so pissed before he got injured.
We had someone draft J.K. Dobbins like in the middle. Our middle of our draft was when the injury occurred, and he's like, "Can I repick?"
Oh my god! All right. I think we've talked enough about the Jaguars.
I know we've talked enough about the Jaguars.
Let's talk about another great team, the Carolina Panthers.
Yuck.
All right, so the Carolina Panthers were the 29th ranked teams in terms of scoring points with only 304 points last year. They were 21st in allowing points with 404 points allowed by their defense. And I think this year is probably going to be pretty similar for them, because they still cannot figure out their quarterback situation. They drafted Matt Corral, who we'll see. I think Tony was right in a lot of his speculation with his rookie research, and that it I don't think he's ready to start. But I think he could. The other problem is that he doesn't really have anyone to be a mentor. He doesn't have a good quarterback to. I mean, his mentor is going to be Sam Darnold. Are you kidding me? Let's talk a little bit about Sam Darnold, who, as we were talking about before, didn't start the whole year because PJ Walker played a few games. Let's see. He was 243 of 406. He had a 59.9 completion percentage somehow, which it's bad, but it's not that bad. But he only had 2,500 yards, which is with a 71.9 passer rating, which is bad. That's really bad.
Yeah.
Uh, Yeah,
he had two rushing touchdowns in one game. So yeah. If you were looking to start him in DFS that week, you did great.
On pressured dropbacks, he was 61 for 132 with 760 yards and only two touchdowns on pressured dropbacks.
Those ghosts are coming for him.
On those pressured dropback plays, he has the second worst passer rating of 47.8, tossing seven picks and recording 15 turnover-worthy plays.
Do you think that when ESPN showed him saying, "I'm seeing ghosts out there," do you think that broke Sam Darnold's psyche?
It definitely broke something in his mind.
Not that he said it, but that, like, they broadcasted him saying that. Like, that moment of vulnerability as a professional.
ESPN put it out there. Yeah.
Play that back.
I think he's been broken in multiple ways. So Adam Gase is your coach. Yeah. Robbie Anderson is, like, It lives to hate Sam Darnold. So when you have your entire receiving core is just like, "I don't want anything to do with you, dude." Like, I think he's just a broken human being. We're going to get banned from the Darnolds for these takes, yeah. But man, Sam Darnold's got a rough go. I mean, he's getting paid, so good for him, but
right.
Damn.
But everywhere he goes, he's going to be known as that shitty quarterback.
Forever. Yeah, for the true. Rest of his life.
I mean, if he doesn't, I know he's not going to, I shouldn't say if, I know he's not going to do very much again this year. So it's, yeah, he's going to go be a backup somewhere after this year or whenever the Carolina decides to let him go. I don't think he's ever going to start ever again outside of this season.
No, there's no way.
If they brought back Cam Newton, the corpse of Cam Newton, to play, he's got nowhere just as a starting job. He's just there right now because they paid him temporarily.
Right. So yeah, anyway, they, like I said, they got Matt Corral, and let's see if he just takes the starting job in the middle of the year.
We'll see. What do you think about Baker to Carolina?
Well, like we were talking last night, Baker, the rumors are all that Carolina is close to getting a deal with Baker Mayfield. They just don't want to pay that salary that's along with anyone that takes him, you know. It's going to... But then you read all the news about Deshaun Watson and how he's potentially going to be out for a whole year. What are the Browns really have no choice but to keep Baker on their, like,
nah, man, it's Jacoby Brissett season. That's why they brought Jacoby Brissett in.
Okay.
Baker's not going to play. He's going to sit out. If he is not released or traded, he will not play. And he shouldn't.
And really, the Browns shouldn't play him because if they risk an injury, then they have to pay for him to rehab on a team he doesn't want to be on.
Yeah, true. It would be nice to see him come to Carolina because Carolina really, like we said, really needs a leader, you know? And even though Baker Mayfield's not the greatest leader, he's been known to at least put some morale boosting stuff on the field for his players to rally around. And
he's got that dog in him.
Yeah. I think he's a leader for sure.
Yeah.
He's not a great quarterback.
Yeah.
That seemed to be when Carolina fell apart last year. They'd started really well, and their defense was doing great. They traded for Stephon Gilmore, and then they just collapsed, and you'd see those players on the field. They're just broken. They couldn't – nobody cared.
Right. They still have a good defense.
So yeah, you pointed that out last podcast too. Yeah, so their defense could save them, but they're going to need a lot of saving. Yeah, I have a feeling. Christian McCaffrey, let's see what happens. Like I said earlier, I don't want any investment in him in any redraft leagues this year. I don't care because he's just going to go too high, and I have a bad feeling he's just going to get injured again and only play six or seven games this season. And it's just going to be one of those things where you make a good investment. He does really well in the first 2 weeks for you, gets injured, doesn't come back till like week 9, gets injured again, has a really good game, you know, and it's just going to be back and forth. You're constantly going to have to figure out how do I make up those points in those weeks that he's out? And you won't be able to.
Nope.
And Tony, like I said, Tony said earlier, they just use him too much. They definitely use him too much. He's not Derrick Henry, 6'5", 250 pounds. You can rush 25, 30 pounds times with a guy like that. But Christian McCaffrey, I don't even think he's 6 foot.
And we can't all be like Shane, who, what was the trade you made last year in your redraft?
My redraft, I had 101 initially. I drafted CMC 101, CEH at 212, AJ Brown at 301. And I thought I had that draft locked in. I thought I was ready to go, ready to win it all, just easy sweep. And then CMC got hurt, CEH did nothing, AJ Brown got hurt. And I had to make a move because I was 0-6, and I was like, well, how does this get any worse? So I traded, actually, the Jonathan Taylor manager approached me and was like, hey, do you want to do this swap? And I'm like Tony, I'm a Calvin Ridley believer. So I had T. Higgins, and I tried to make a move for Calvin Ridley and JT. So I ended up trading away CMC, CEH, and T. Higgins, because T. Higgins at the beginning of the season didn't do anything either, for Calvin Ridley and Jonathan Taylor. And this was like the week that Calvin Ridley got suspended. So it definitely, that redraft was cursed, but luckily it's a keeper league. So I get a franchise one player. So I get to keep Jonathan Taylor in the first round. So I can't pick anybody better in my opinion, depending on where I pick from.
It's just surreal to me that you turned CMC and CEH into Jonathan Taylor. Like that's,
I think the dude just believed that he was going to come back because this was the first time he got injured. So everyone's like, oh, he's out for 4 weeks. He'll be fine. And then he came back for that one game, popped his hammy, and then he was done.
Yep.
And that guy didn't make playoffs. So suck on that.
Suck it. Ryan, do you like Dante Foreman at all as a handcuff?
Not really. And Chuba Hubbard isn't really. He was okay, but he's not. He's not Christian McCaffrey. It's just he was just there and got the role.
Yeah. I tried to peddle Chuba to the CMC manager in Dynasty the whole year, even for like a fourth, and he would not take him. I'm like, all right, this is the signal to just to ditch cut loss. But I'm a Dante Foreman truther, like we talked about last time, because he helped me win my title. So I'm not. We'd like with the handcuffs speak. I'm not gonna have both, but if I could have a piece for cheap. Like you said, Tony, everybody has a price, and I'll get Foreman.
Yeah, I don't like any of the handcuffs behind Christian McCaffrey, and that's a bad thing because, like I said, he's not going to play the whole year. The odds on him playing the whole year are probably like plus 10,000, like astronomical odds. Like
I have 15 best ball teams so far this offseason. And I have Dante Foreman in 26% of them. I have a ton of exposure to Foreman because I think opportunity is there in that offense. So,
okay.
Foreman showed he can be a replacement level player. And if he's look at, remember when Mike Davis killed it in Carolina in the CMC role?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I'm optimistic about the role. Whoever's in there should be all right. I mean, Chuba even turned in some decent games last year. He just didn't look good doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. We can talk about their wide receivers.
Yeah, let's go.
Somehow DJ Moore, like you said, got 1,000 yards last year. And from a quarterback that only threw. So basically, he had like a third of the quarterback's yards that he threw. Like, yeah. That's crazy.
He's the whole team.
Yeah. Robbie Anderson shows flashes on those deep routes when he gets those long touchdowns. But other than that, he's just there.
He's the most uninspiring.
Right.
He's more fun to watch on Twitter than on the NFL field.
Yes.
They did get Terrace Marshall, so we'll see what happens with him.
Man, like, they're, like, talking him up right now in training camp again, but he had, like, the worst rookie season. And, like, he literally was a second-round pick because he played in an offense with young Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, and Joe Burrow. Like,
right. Yeah. There's potential for him to emerge, but not with this quarterback. They got Rashad Higgins, Brandon Zylstra. I remember him getting a couple passes last year. And they've got Andre Roberts.
Oh my God. He's got to be like 60.
I know, right?
I feel like there's another receiver named Andre Roberts that must have played like at the same time or right before. Because I feel like there's been an Andre Roberts in the NFL for the last like 35 years, and they've all been a whatever wide receiver.
Yep. So outside of DJ Moore, I mean, it's not looking good.
No.
And they didn't do too much in the draft to help themselves with that.
What were you saying, Shane? DJ Moore caught like 2 touchdowns last year?
I think he's combined the last 2 years for 4 touchdowns. Oh. So, I mean, if you want 1,000 yards and 2 touchdowns this year, like, oh. I'm gonna get a lot of flack in the Discord for this, but I really don't want to touch DJ Moore. Like, it's not something that's inspiring. He's fine as, like, a wide receiver, too, but for, like, his price, I don't want him.
No.
And you know what's even worse this year? They're tight ends.
Oh, God.
When your number one tight end is Tommy Tremble.
Is he tight end one?
We got problems. Yeah, it's Tommy Tremble, Ian Thomas, Stefan Sullivan, and Colin Thompson. The latter two, I never even heard of.
So, yeah, those are AI characters.
Yeah,
those are real people.
Yeah,
those are their 4 listed depth chart tight ends.
I had no idea Tommy Tremble was a starting tight end this year.
Yeah, because they lost crap. What's his name?
They lost their goddamn marbles if they think Tommy Tremble is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, they still got time to do something in free agency, but I don't think there's very many tight ends left that are decent.
Here comes Gronk.
Yeah, Gronk.
Oh shit! Yeah, right. To Carolina. He would never do that. So I'm gonna go Forrest Gump on Carolina, and that's all I have to say about that.
You know what? We were talking pre-recording, and you're out. You are all out on CMC.
Yeah, I'm not. I can't play that game. I don't want to.
I'm not that out, but I don't want any Carolina Panthers at their price point right now.
No.
I saw an RB ranking the other day where they had CMC as RB1, JT as 2, Austin Eckler as 3, Najee Harris as 4, Derrick Henry at 5, and Dalvin Cook at 6. And wow. I thought that was a league from last year, but it was dated on the 25th of June.
That's disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to keep talking about Carolina. Let's pivot to something more fun. We got the Houston Texans.
Oh, darn.
Yeah. So Pep Hamilton is the new offensive coordinator in Houston, but he was the quarterback coach last year. So this is his second year working with Davis Mills. And Davis Mills is the number one all year, so we'll see exactly what he has. I think it would surprise you, because it surprised me, to find out that Davis Mills was one of the best deep ball passers in the NFL last year. He led the league in passer rating for all passes that were 20 or more yards down the field.
Yeah, he had some flashes.
He was one of the best red zone quarterbacks in the league in terms of accuracy, touchdown rate, and guess what? He threw 0 interceptions in the red zone this year. Brandon Cooks obviously helps out a lot. Brandon Cooks led the team in targets on third down, led the team in targets under pressure, led the team in targets when they were blitzed, and red zone targets. John Mechie was drafted to help the short game improve because half of Mills' throws were between 0 and 9 yards from the line of scrimmage. He had some really bad games early on. He threw 4 picks against Buffalo, but in the last 11 weeks of the season, he had 11 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. So, like, he's a league average quarterback, if you're looking at stats. He'll make some more mistakes than average, but he does. There's some things he does well. He's a steady starter. He's not going to win or lose games for Houston. He's also not going to win or lose games for your fantasy team. He doesn't run. He's a decent scrambler, but he doesn't run. He has a wide variance of outcomes. Like I said, he had a game against Buffalo last year with 0 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. He played against New England and threw 3 touchdowns with 0 picks. He had a game. He had 2 games last year with no touchdowns or interceptions. So I'm telling you right now, and this might be a crazy thing to suggest, I could see starting him in DFS a couple times next year, or I could see him in a good matchup. I can see Davis Mills as a 1 week spot starter.
What would you consider like a good matchup, like Houston, Jacksonville, or like?
Yeah, if he's going to play a team with a bad pass defense, but a good offense where game script looks like they're going to have to be throwing a lot, I could see Davis Mills being a decent play.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, give us your Davis Mills take, Shane.
They beat the shit out of us last year, and I have no idea how that happened. I watched that game, and I felt like I was living in a parallel universe. And that was that was the week I was like, I need you guys to perform, and then nothing happened. And I was like, all right, we're just done with fantasy for this season.
Yeah, that was the Rex Burkhead game.
Yep. I think he had like 30 points that game. He had like 2 or 3 touchdowns. And then I think that was the bad fantasy week. I think that's when
it was
Indy played Houston, or not Houston, Jacksonville, and lost. And JT had like 9 points. But no, that was a misnomer of a game. So if you want to start David Mills, start him against the Chargers.
So the running back room, if we want to talk some skank here, we got Marlon Mack, Rex Burkhead, Damian Pierce, and friend of the show when Shane's on, Dare Ogunbowale.
Yes. Thank you, Jeff and Evan, for introducing me to the truth.
This running back room sucks. Pierce is a hot rookie draft pick for Dynasty, but he's never had lead running back touches in college, so like, I feel like his price point right now is valuing him as like a lead guy, but I still think he's a committee guy.
Yeah, I don't understand why everyone is all over Marlon Mack. He's not going to be anything.
Well, so, okay. I think Mack, Burkhead, and Pierce all split fair. It's going to be a split between the three of them.
And it have to be.
The Texans, according to 4-for-4, have the 3rd worst offensive line in football. Hopefully they drafted that guard in the first round. Hopefully that helps. I think Damian Pierce can be the guy that takes the ball up the middle, but we'll talk about exactly how ugly. Let me tell you how ugly that was. Rex Burkhead ran the ball 122 times last year for 427 yards.
What's that, like 3 yards a carry?
Yes. Like, he literally ran into the line and fell down. Like, that was Rex Burkhead. Marlon Mack is the best running back in this backfield. I know you're like, why are people high on him? Well, it's because everyone else is worse.
Yeah. But he wasn't shit in Indy.
No, he had a season with over 1,000 yards, and then he had a season with over 900 yards in Indy. But he's never had more than 33 targets. So I think people want him to catch passes, and I don't think he's a pass catcher. I think fantasy managers are looking more at the opportunity than instead of what the offense itself actually looks like. An offense combined for 1,300 rushing yards last year, which is not great, below average. The Houston Texans last year had 8 rushing touchdowns.
Oh my God, that's it?
The entire franchise had 8 rushing touchdowns last year. I think Marlon Mack leads the backfield in snaps and touches, but I think his ceiling is pretty limited. You guys got any Marlon Mack exposure?
No.
He is one of my most drafted best ball running backs.
Just because he fell to you, or?
Yeah, his ADP right now is super low. I have him in 5 of my 15 teams because I can get him in round 14.
Wow.
if you're getting a starting running back that late, like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
All right, so I kind of like the wide receiver room in Houston. They've got, they're like, depth guys are decent. Chris Conley is a guy that plays football. Yeah. Philip Dorsett is a guy that plays football.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the big three, very much like LeBron, D. Wade, and Chris Bosh, are Brandon Cooks, Nico Collins, and John Mechie.
Oh, shit.
Brandon Cooks was injured in 2019, and that's the only season Brandon Cooks was not a wide receiver 20 or better in fantasy.
Mechie's the one that's got that injury, right?
Yeah, Mechie's ACL from Alabama. Yeah. We'll talk about him in a sec. Because just now, like everybody else, Ryan, you're sleeping on Brandon Cooks.
Did put up some decent numbers last year. And Waleed always wanted to put him in our DFS lineups. And some of the weeks he would yell at us who didn't, and he went off. But
his averages, if you average out all of his career years, he's an average for about 115 to 120 targets, between 80 to 90 catches, over 1,000 yards, and between 5 to 8 touchdowns.
Hmm.
Yeah. He's in on 4-for-4 in PPR. He's their wide receiver 12.
What, for real?
Yeah. Is that a reach?
I guess I didn't even, because I wasn't looking for him. I guess I didn't even see that because I was looking at those.
Shane, what do you think? Is that a reach?
I don't know, man, because I was just thinking about it right now. Like in this season, I know you guys are going to cover the Seahawks later, but would you rather have DK Metcalf or Brandon Cooks?
Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, I would think Cooks. I don't know what's going to happen with Seattle's passing game, honestly.
Which, if you said that last year, everybody think you were insane. Where,
right? Yeah, that's true.
It changes. So I don't know. I think 12 is about where I want him. Like, he's super cheap. You know what I mean? You can buy him in Dynasty for a high second because he's old. You know what I mean? Nobody wants him. But I know Jeff Crisco is like the biggest proponent of him. Of go start Brandon Cooks. I won't start him as wide receiver 1, but that's just like the way I feel about it. But strong wide receiver 2, like a lock.
Yeah, he's.
But
he's gonna kill
it. 12. Yeah,
he's the most slept on wide receiver 1 in football.
Yeah, 100%.
Ryan, are you drafting Brandon Cooks this year? Am I gonna have to reach on Brandon Cooks to steal him from you in our big money league?
I don't think you'll have to worry about me taking him. I'm only going to take him if he's there at my pick. I'm not going to actively.
You're not going to reach for him?
I'm not going to reach for him, yeah.
Interesting. Let me ask you this. In redraft this year, I'm asking both of you, in redraft this year, who do you want in round 4? Do you want Brandon Cooks or do you want AJ Brown?
I take AJ Brown.
Yeah, I think it would go AJ, because what happens if Davis Mills gets injured? Who's their backup?
I think it's Tyrod again.
Is it Taylor?
I think so.
Because that scares me. Because then if Davis Mills goes out, Brandon Cooks ain't shit.
I love that you're like, I don't know, man. What if Davis Mills gets hurt? It's Kyle Allen is the backup quarterback.
Oh, even worse.
Well, yeah, even worse is their third quarterback, Jeff Driscoll.
They have Driscoll.
Yeah. We have a guy that couldn't beat out Sam Darnold. Or no, he couldn't beat out Taylor Heinicke as the backup.
Yeah.
So, okay. But I think I'm also going AJ Brown, but I think it's a coin flip. And I think there's an argument to be made that you could take Cooks over AJ Brown, but I guarantee you.
I think there is too, because there's so much uncertainty with how Hurts is going to pass this year. He just wasn't on last year.
If I'm in, when we're drafting next year, I want you to look me dead in the eyes and we will share a laugh, because I guarantee you DK Metcalf goes ahead of Brandon Cooks.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I'm sure. Everyone's going to forget that everyone's going to forget that Carson's not there anymore.
Right.
I think the AJ Brown versus Cooks argument is based on ceiling versus floor, where you can have that blow up game from AJ Brown of getting you 40 points, or he's going to get you 8 points, where you know Brandon Cooks is going to get you. So I think it depends your style of play, where if you're swinging for fourth round, I think you kind of want the ceiling play, but that's just how I play fantasy.
I'm going to break my own heart here with this one, because I didn't want to admit the truth, and then it stared me in the face. I don't know about Nico Collins, y'all. I love Nico Collins, and I don't know about Nico Collins. He was one of the most inefficient wide receivers in football last year. He caught only half of he caught half or more of his targets last year 3 times. That's bad.
Yeah.
Collins ran a route on 94% of all Houston dropbacks, and he had only 59 targets.
Really?
That sucks. That's bad. So, if you have Nico Collins in Dynasty, which I do in multiple places, you're really banking on him taking a step, because he did not show up the patience. Like, it wasn't there.
I actually traded for him this year. I traded Miles Gaskin for him, and I think it was like 207, which became David Bell. And I was like, I killed that trade. And
you beat the shit out of that trade.
Yeah. Like, now you're saying Nico Collins is like, eh, we don't know. I'm just like, okay. I mean, I think David Bell will have a better performance in the next 2 years than Gaskin, because...
Yes.
Chase Edmonds. Sorry.
Okay. It was Miles Gaskin. I'm like, bro, if you traded him for David Bell, you fleeced.
But that Miami backfield just scares the hell out of me, because there's like 19 running backs on that team.
Yeah.
And Chase Edmonds is not a goal line running back.
No, not at all. All right, so if we're talking efficiency for next year, I want John Mechie, depending on when he comes back. Cooks is starting to get recognized as the consistent guy that he is, but I think Mechie's a threat to catch 5 passes a game underneath this year. He was one of the best short yardage guys in the draft. I think it was like, in terms of pure route running, it was Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Sky Moore, John Mechie. I think they were all in that top tier of route runners. I think he's a steal. I think he's a steal in dynasty drafts in the second round and in the mid second. And then I actually like him in redraft as well, if I can stash him on my IR. Like, if I can get him on my IR and he comes back in week 5 and starts catching passes, like, let's go. If he's healthy, though, I think he's the exact type of high-floor weekly producer that you want for bye weeks. The Texans' offense ran a lot of routes last year in the field that Mechie specializes in, but Mills didn't target that area very much. So hopefully, if Mechie's there, he'll start throwing in those spots.
Okay.
I think Cooks is a weekly starter. I think Collins is a dynasty stash with no floor and a pretty like average ceiling. And I think Mechie is a plus fantasy asset that might even be a great bench hold and redraft depending on when he returns. You want to hear bad tight end room? I see your Tommy Tremble, and I raise you Brevin Jordan, Pharaoh Brown, and Tegan Quitoriano.
Yeah, that's right. They picked up Quitoriano. He could emerge as an interesting tight end for them.
Yeah, I read some stuff about some hazing that Tegan Quitoriano did to people when he was in high school, and dude's an asshole.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyways, so Jordan Akins led this tight end room last year, but he is in New York. He's a giant. He's a giant now. Brevin Jordan is their tight end one. Last year, he caught 20 passes for 178 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's bad.
That's baller tight end numbers right there.
Yeah, 20 catches, 178 yards, 3 touchdowns. Tight end one. This is an avoid for me. I want nothing to do with it. There was 97 passes that went to tight ends last year. You might as well take those 97 targets and just give them directly to Brandon Cooks.
That's probably what's going to happen.
Like, I don't want any part of that tight end room. So. Any Texans, you guys, before we move on and never talk about this team again? Do you like Marlon Mack? Ryan doesn't like Marlon Mack. No. Shane, are you a Marlon Mack guy?
No, I think it's John Metchie or bust for me. Or I guess Cooks, depending on where, like, where Ryan was saying where he's at in the draft.
Yeah.
I think Houston has the potential to surprise some people this year because, like, they play in the AFC South, you know, so they could surprise people and get, like, 8 or 9 wins. I don't know.
I think they're a team that could surprise people in real life, but I don't think they're going to get much in terms of, like, fantasy production.
No.
Yeah, outside of Cooks. So, all right, Ryan, so save us. Can you give us some Tampa Bay to end this show?
All right. So, yeah, let's talk about the Bucks. Let's see. They scored 511 points last year for the second most points by an NFL team. They also allowed 353 points, which was fifth overall. But that's with the ground. If you're going to score a lot of points, you're going to probably allow a lot of points.
Yeah.
Mr. Tom Brady is back. And by the way, I think Gronk's coming back. He just doesn't want to go to minicamp.
Yeah, he doesn't want to practice. He wants to show up.
Right. So he'll be back. It's just going to take a phone call from Tom Brady. Before last year, no quarterback that has played in their year age 44 season had surpassed 15 passes in a single season. Tom Brady did that in some. Let's see.
That's through the ball right there.
He threw the ball 485 times out of 719 targets, a 67.5 completion percentage for 5,316 yards, and a 102 passer rating. That is godly for someone that's 44 years old.
He was made in a lab. He's not human.
I mean, so he's going to be 45 this year. But there's no signs of slowing down for him. I mean, no. they still have a pretty decent offensive line.
I think the problem is once he retires, he's going to have to pay back some of those small business loans he got through the COVID acts to the government. So he's just going to run and just play forever.
Yeah. So they still have most of their wide receivers left.
Do they still have Kyle Trask? Ryan,
they do. They still have Kyle Trask as their listed third quarterback. Backup is Blaine Gabbert. So NFL quarterbacks affected by pressure. Tom Brady had 751 total dropbacks, but only 150 of those featured pressure on the run because of their offensive line.
Wow.
Within those, he went 56 of 126 for 699 yards. He was only taken to the ground 22 times.
Holy shit.
Yeah, pretty crazy. So he's a robot, basically.
Yeah, so, Shane, you're right. He's made in a lab, man.
I also think he'll put people in camps if he gets hit. So he's like, all right, you let a sack up on me, you're gonna be running suicides for the next 6 days straight. So don't let it happen.
He does. Right. He can't exhibit that type of pressure, yeah, on his players.
He's the head coach. Like he's the head.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's a reason they made Arians go be like a guy in the front office or whatever. He was not jiving with Tom. Tom Brady wants to do what he wants to do.
Exactly.
Running backs. We still got Mr. Leonard Fournette. Should be pretty good this year.
He's fat.
Is he fat?
Off season.
He showed up to minicamp overweight.
He invested in Krispy Kremes over the off season.
No, that's Eddie Lacy.
Well, that guy was so fat.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, but he was awesome. He was good at football.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. A player I'm really excited that they drafted is Rashad White. His last season with Arizona, he's a pass-catching running back. And he caught 43 of 48 targets with Arizona last year. And that's something Brady really liked. Brady loves peppering his running backs with targets. If we look at 2020, he had 120 targets to his running backs. Last year, 134. So This guy's going to be their potential pass-catching running back, their third-down gadget player. It's going to be good. It's going to be good because otherwise we've got Keyshawn Vaughn and Giovanni Bernard. Is
Gio Bernard still on the team?
He's listed on the active depth chart, according to ESPN.
Yeah, no, I see him. Here's my question for you. Last year, Gio Bernard caught 23 passes. Rashad White targets, or Rashad White catches over or under 23 this year.
Damn. I'd like to be optimistic and say over, just because last year there was 134 targets to spread around.
Right. But a lot of them go to Lenny, right? Like, Lenny catches a lot of passes.
Yeah, I guess.
So that's my thing. When I'm looking at these players, it's like, we know what the player can do. What are our expectations for the player? Shane, do you have any Rashad White?
I don't. I unfortunately didn't have any later seconds. I think when in Dynasty drafts, he was going like 205, 206, and I didn't have any spots. I'm either at the end or in the beginning. But in best ball, I haven't really approached. He usually goes pretty high for like for other players I'd take in that spot. I can't recall off the top of my head, but no, I don't have any of him yet. I would like some, though, because I believe that he can take a significant role in that team. Because Lenny won't play every game.
Right, okay. So I have a question for you guys, because these are two that I see in best ball around the same spot. Who do you want in best ball for a flex spot? Half point PPR, Rashad White or KJ Osborne from Minnesota?
Ooh.
It's tough.
I think KJ Osborne.
He's
going to emerge this year. Showed some flashes last year that he can be someone, so.
I think the path to a nice share of that backfield for Rashad White is just, it's not there.
Yeah.
I think he learns from Gio Bernard this year, and Gio Bernard is like, these are the things you need to do to be a good pass-catching back.
That's a good take.
Because if I recall, Rashad White is a pass-catching back who's not a very good pass blocker, if I recall.
Okay.
Because he's a smaller dude. So, like, the question then becomes, like, when does he fit in? Because if he's in there and you know he's going to run a route, like, it's not really worth it necessarily.
Yeah, that's true.
Go on, keep talking. I'm going to pull up my Rashad White stuff that I did, and we'll circle back to this real quick when I get there.
Okay, sure. we can move on to wide receivers. Do we know when Chris Godwin's coming back?
No.
Okay. So he's going to miss some time for the beginning of the season, probably?
I think so.
He's probably on the pup list.
Yeah. Okay. So the first six, I believe.
So Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are a lethal wide receiver duo. So Russell Gage may need to fill in a little bit while Chris Godwin tries to get healthy, but they're expected to get the lion's share of Tom Brady's yards this year. I mean, they're freaking awesome. Other than that, we've got Rashad Perriman, Scotty Miller, Tyler Johnson, Cyril Grayson. Some guys that'll have to fill in. They might catch some. I kind of like Scotty Miller a little bit. That small white guy from can't remember what school he played from.
Who? Say that one more time.
Scotty Miller.
I don't remember. Oh, yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
Just another gritty, short, white guy that Tom Brady loves to throw passes to.
Right.
What about Jalen Darden?
Get rid of him. Roster clogger.
That's how I felt, too.
I will say, I'm pulling up some Rashad White stuff. He had a relative athletic score of 9.87. So he crushed. He's gorgeous in space. He makes guys miss, but he runs way too tall. He's got long speed, but he doesn't have short distance speed. Decent blocker, plays like a wide receiver, but he can't really find that second gear very quickly. You don't want to run him in tackles. So, I don't know. I think I compared him to Giovanni Bernard in my write-up. But I also said a little bit of David Johnson for Arizona. I liked him a little bit less than James Cook, but they were in that same area. So who knows? Yeah, exactly. James Cook, our Lord and Savior. So, Ryan, does Mike Evans break 1,000 yards again this year?
Yeah, he should. He's projected at 981 on 4 for 4. And to have over 10 touchdowns and over 70 receptions, yeah, I think he's going to have it. Tom Brady's going to throw for another 5,000 yards. He's got to have at least 1,000 of those. And I don't see why Chris Godwin or Russell Gage couldn't get 1,000 either. You know, if we say that Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Russell Gage each get 1,000 yards, that's only 3,000 yards. Tom Brady's thrown 2,000 yards somewhere else. So I don't see any reason why those three players can't each have over 1,000 yards this year.
That's not a
It could be really awesome. Yeah, like I want in DFS, I want a part of all of these offenses. I want Brady. I want Fournette. I want those top three wide receivers. And shit, Gronk's coming back. So we all know he's coming back. I think Tampa goes to the Super Bowl again.
Okay. Do you value Gronk? Like, are you paying for Gronk right now in best ball? Are you that confident that he's coming back that you'd take him to be like your backup tight end or maybe your late tight end one?
Yeah, I took him in best ball last Sunday, the one that you and me did, and that was like 2 days before he announced his retirement, but
sure.
I have full confidence that Brady's going to have him come back.
Okay, Shane, how do you feel about Gronk?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like I think Ryan has the right opinion on this. I get so skittish though. I know we talked about like ceiling versus floor kind of stuff, where if a player's not in the vacuum of that day, like this is my trap in fantasy, is I only look at the current statement. I have a hard time projecting future. You know what I mean? Like, especially in like best ball, because like I've never played that style of, so I don't want to have the potential of a player missing. But I guess like the ceiling that's there, where like, you know, Gronk is going to be number two or three weapon on that offense when he comes back. You know
right.
what I mean? Yeah. So I think my ego is holding me back from Gronk when I should just be like, he's going to come back. Cause I'm all in on Tom Brady. Like I'm on the Tom Brady train until the wheels literally fall off like Drew Brees did, where all his ribs get cracked and his lung gets punctured. So I think it's foolish of me to pass on Gronk. So I need to take a look at where he fits on my teams and push for that.
So one of the things
I was going to say, funny thing really quick about Drew Brees, we all saw he's not returning to his announcing job. I think it was just because he was bad, but now people are speculating that he's going to come back and play for the Saints.
You're telling me he grew back all that hair magically overnight to only be in the studio for 1 year?
Sorry. I read that the other day and I was like, are you guys crazy? He's not coming back. He just was a shit announcer. He didn't quit because he's coming back to football.
Right. I don't think people recognize. Right. And I don't think people recognize how truly rare it is for someone to retire and then come back. Just because Brady did it doesn't mean like,
right,
people are just going to start doing it, like, because it's a thing. back to Gronk real quick. I want to say, like, one of the things I learned most last year as a fantasy football player was I looked back at my best ball lineups that I drafted over the summer. I had so much exposure, tight end one exposure, to Adam Troutman.
Wow.
And it was because he was so hyped last offseason. He was going to be the guy. Like, analysts on all the major platforms, like, don't let them tell you that they weren't in on Adam Troutman, because they were fucking in on Adam Troutman.
Oh no, dude, the fantasy footballers, like, I swear, like, they were the psyop, because as soon as they dropped that announcement of that they're going to pick him up, dude, every single waiver wire and that I was in, he was off of. He was gone within that week.
Yeah, and when I was doing it in June, and everyone's like, oh man, Adam Troutman in OTAs looks like the fucking guy, and Jameis throws to the tight end, like, here's a bunch of O.J. Howard stats, and I'm like, oh my god, discount tight end one? Like, let's fucking go. And I had a best ball, like, my best team that I drafted last year over the summer for best ball, my tight end one was Cole Kmet, because my original tight end one was Adam Troutman. Like, so with Gronk, like, I'm like, dude, I would rather pass on the value if the alternative is zero.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, Ryan, you like to bake in an injury risk to a lot of your guys when you're evaluating dudes. That's just the way you play.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I try to ignore that as best as I can. Because my assumption is it's all random anyways, right? So
it is random, but the stats don't lie. Like I said, it's very rare to have a top-tier player play all 17 games in the season. It's very rare.
But there are dudes that are injury-prone that this happens to more often.
There are, there are plenty of people, yeah.
Gronk missed how many games? Like, 6 games last year? And he's still, like, at the end of the season, he was still, like, tight end within the top 15. Like, he missed that many games, but put up that much numbers. Because I remember his injury, like, didn't he have, like, a punctured lung and stuff? Like, he was essentially in a car accident.
Yeah.
He also gave the quote of the year last year where he's like, I don't watch film, I just run through dudes.
That's the most Gronk answer possible.
And you know what? Give him the veterans insurance. I don't fucking care. Like, he's a patriot. He ruined his body for the Patriots. If that's not veteran status, I don't know what is. All right, so that's pretty much what we got for today. I actually feel a little bit better about Brady. I like hearing two people here whose fantasy brains I respect also see, like, a 5,000-yard Tom Brady season. Especially because, as far as I know, I don't think either of you guys have Tom Brady on. So you're not speaking like, well, he's on my team, so he's got to do great.
Yeah, no. I've never been fortunate enough to get him in redraft or dynasty leagues. I thought it was so awesome when Tony drafted last year and Tom Brady was retired. He's like, fuck it, I'm anyway. And then, like, 5 days later, he's like, I'm coming back.
Yeah, that
I'm
was in the
leaving.
That was in the Toucan Dynasty startup draft, and like, it was round like 15 or 17 or something like that. And I'm just like, who cares? I'm rebuilding anyways.
What do you have to lose in round 17?
Yeah,
right. Like, I'm like, if he comes back, this pick is a smash. And yeah, like, 3 days later, he like, yeah, I'm coming back, and I got pick 12. For it, you know, like, so then my last question for you guys then is redraft. What Tom Brady is QB what for you in redraft? If you had to rank Tom Brady this year in redraft, where's he at?
Oh, shit.
Is he top 5? Because he's top 10 for sure, right?
Yeah, he's top 10 for sure.
He's 5 or 6 for me. Like, he's up there.
So we've got Allen, Mahomes, Herbert. Who else are you putting over Tom Brady?
Probably Lamar.
What do you think about Lamar?
Maybe Aaron Rodgers. I don't know.
I'm putting Brady over Rodgers because Rodgers is supporting cast so much worse.
Yeah, I'm definitely Brady over Rodgers as well.
I think Rodgers is going to defy all logic and somehow make some of those guys be people they aren't, and then they're going to get giant contracts and go somewhere else and be shit.
So are you an Alan Lazard believer?
I don't know who to believe yet in that offense, but someone's gonna emerge.
Aaron Jones, that's it.
Or AJ Dillon.
I'm such a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. I'm never a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. I'm such a huge Aaron Jones fan this year. Ridiculous.
But yeah, if Gronk doesn't come back, we've got Cameron Brate, Kate Otten.
Love Kate Otten.
Some guy named Co-Cleft.
Co-Cleft.
And Cody McElroy as their listed tight ends. So.
Isn't that rapper?
Is it?
Cody McElreft?
But no other noteworthy names to say. I mean, they need Gronk to come back.
I think it's cool because I think Kate Otten's going to see the field because he's a good blocker
and
not much of a like deep threat. He's a bad route runner. But listen to this. I was watching Kate Otten and he was like the chip, like the double team blocker when they went against both Michigan and Oregon. So like I got to watch him block against Aiden Hutchinson and Kayvon Thibodeau, two top five defensive rookie draft picks, edge rushers. And he did well. So he's not a great pass catcher, but he's like Jeremy Ruckert for the Jets. Like he's a tight end that can block and can catch and will see the field because he can block.
Okay. That opportunity is there.
He's also 6'5". So
yeah.
Like I compared him to Dan Arnold.
Okay. I like that.
So I saw what I wrote about him before the draft was I see him as a team's second option on the depth chart. And if you have him on your redraft team in August, it's time you sign up for BetterHelp and get some therapy. I think he is a red zone guy. I think if Gronk isn't back, I think he's someone that you could catch a touchdown, maybe end up with two or three on the year. You never know. Brady, when Brady likes a guy, Brady likes a guy.
Yeah.
He's a well-rounded football player. He might get like some H-back, like some fullback potential. But like, yeah, I was like, I'd rather have him on my real life team than my fantasy team.
Okay.
But I think he's the second tight end right now on the roster.
Yeah. Yeah, we're technically right now, if Gronk's not there, yeah.
And then like we were all saying earlier, Gronk is always hurt. So he plays through it, but at the same time, like I don't know. I do want Kate Otten as I'm actually like now I'm more of a Kate Otten fan that he's in Tampa because he kinda does what Cameron Brate does. So I think Cameron Brate is a dude that can be like, hey, let's coach you up. I think a lot of the organization in Tampa is like, well, when Tom retires, this team's fucked. So hopefully they can teach the young guys a little bit because we're going to be rebuilding like all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good point.
All right. So that's what we have for today. Any last thoughts? We got about four awful teams that we talked about today that you want to share with the class.
Moral of the story is don't take anyone really from the previous three teams we talked about. You're going to want everyone from Tampa Bay.
Yep.
This is a negative hot take, and I don't like being super negative, but I have a negative hot take today.
Okay.
DJ Moore has less than 2 touchdowns this year.
And less than 1,000 yards?
I'm going to say no. But the take the take, the standalone take is less than two touchdowns this year.
Okay. He's gonna have Julio Jones season, huh?
Yeah. God, who was it that I was reading? Fuck, there was someone that I was reading about that. I get to edit all this out later, so brainstorm on the air real quick. I want to say it was someone we talked about today. Nope.
Who?
There was a wide receiver last year that was tackled on the 1 yard line five times. I think it was like CeeDee Lamb or something like that.
Really?
Jacoby Myers?
Jacoby Myers is alerted to the end zone, man.
Dude, I remember when he scored his first touchdown, they're up by like 38 points, and that team went buck wild, and I was like, he finally did it.
I love Jacoby Myers, man. I think Jacoby Myers is great.
I just saw a trade happen in a dynasty league. Jacoby Myers, Antonio Gibson, Darnell Mooney for Jonathan Taylor.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
If I was the Taylor owner, I would have not done that trade.
No, 100%.
I don't even think at this avenue I would even entertain any trades for Taylor.
You'd have to give me three firsts plus. Like, I view Antonio Gibson as a rapidly declining asset. Like, he's approaching second round capital, like, very fast. Jacoby Myers is a fine wide receiver three, and we'll see what happens with Darnell Mooney this year. But, yeah, I saw that trade, and I'm like, man, you got godded.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, that's bad. All right, well, I think that's it for today. I'll get back to us, and I'll find that we got tackled on the 1 yard line times last year. Ridiculous.
Sure.
And so that's pretty much it for episode 37. I think that's all we got. So Ryan, Craig, enjoy your Sunday. Shane and I are going to go watch fucking pro wrestling. We're going to go to the Forbidden Door.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I got to mow the lawn. Then I'm going to have a smoked brisket later.
Nice. Shane's flight out is at 7 a.m. from O'Hare. We're getting up at 4 o'clock, baby.
Oh, dude, I fucked up so bad. I made the biggest mistake.
We're going to have a good time. It's all good. All right, sure. Ryan, who are we doing next week? What division are we doing next week?
Oh, that's a good question.
I think I'm stuck with the NFC West, and I think you're doing the AFC West.
So you want to do the West?
Yeah, that's the order we went last time. So you get the joy of the, you know, whatever two of Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders, and Broncos, and then I get to pick between Seattle, San Francisco, and Arizona. It's gonna be fun. So we'll see you guys next week for episode 30. So enjoy your Sunday, everybody.
Have a good Sunday.
Thank you.
See you. Later. I get scared when a green vegetable is served brown.